looking at our five values again. So some of what I'll say this morning, you've heard me say before, but that's a good thing, because it means if you've heard it before and you're bored of it, it means you've got it. If you're not bored of it yet, you haven't got it yet. So we're going to go through our five values again over the next few Sundays, just to refresh our minds about what these values that we're seeking to try and live out as a church actually are. So if you're not sure, they're around the room, on the windows and on the piano. So we've got radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. These are the values that we are wanting to be as a people, as a church, to help us grow, not only as a church, but in our own lives. How do we grow with God? Actually applying these values, applying these Christian principles to our lives, help us trust God more as we receive His Holy Spirit, as we seek to tell the story of the Son, which is our vision statement. Trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son. And we trust God by putting into practice these values, by saying, God, I want to be hospitable, but I want to do it radically. I need to take it up a notch into a place where I need you, God, to come through. We need to rely on your Holy Spirit, and hopefully what I then do tells the story of the Son. When we're worshipping, say, God, I actually want to get to a place where I experience who you are, so I know the trust I have in my life for you as I receive your Holy Spirit and the flow of the Holy Spirit that comes through worship. And then that allows me to be empowered and emboldened to shine for Jesus and tell his story wherever I go. And likewise with all the other things we'll be looking at over the summer. So we're going to be looking at this radical hospitality again today and just thinking about what it might mean for our lives. I'm probably not going to tell you anything you don't already know, but just ask God to reveal to you now something fresh about what he wants to say into your life today. So we're going to hear some familiar stories read to us, as we're going to hear some ideas just to help us think about these particular things. So radical hospitality. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We started, didn't we, looking at that verse from 1 John. We love because he first loved us. And the practical radical hospitality begins in our own life as we open our life up more to God. As we open our life up to him and say, God, have more involvement in my life. Not just in a little part of it, but in all of it. As we receive more of his grace, we are able to then exhibit that to other people in a more mighty way. As we open our heart to God, it opens our heart to others. Because we start becoming more aware of what God's heart is. And we're able to share that into the world. So the first thing I want to say this morning is simply this, which Laura's already touched on in the worship, is this. If you're a Christian in the room this morning, get this simple truth. If you hear nothing else this morning, just remember these four words. Accept you are accepted. Accept that you are accepted by God. Yes, there is. That the grace of God is this. Accept that you are accepted. And too many of us become Christians, and yet we still live with the mentality that, well, I'm saved, but God doesn't actually like me. And that's just not true. God thinks the world of you. But we need to get into our minds that accept that you are accepted. We could just sit and repeat that again and again for the next half an hour, and that would be enough. Accept that you are accepted, because grace is for you. There's no barrier to grace. It is for everyone. Because he first loved us. He didn't say, well, if you do X, Y, and Z, then I'll love you. He says, I love you. Do you want a hug, basically? Do you want to be embraced by the King of Heaven? Do you want to experience something that you've never experienced before in your life? Accept that you are accepted. That is grace. And that is the heartbeat of radical hospitality, is saying, if I can accept that I'm accepted as I am, with all my faults and failings, then that's what I am called to live out to the rest of the world. To accept people in love. To show the grace that I have received with others and tell them about how there's a God in heaven who wants to share that love with them. When we don't accept that we're accepted, we start putting barriers up to other people experiencing the grace of God. Because if we're struggling to receive grace, we'll make it hard for other people to receive grace. Because we'll think that grace is conditional. And it's not. Accept that you are accepted. Just a quick background again. Romans 12:13 says, practice hospitality. And the word hospitality comes from the Greek word philoxenion, which basically means hospitality, which basically means xenos, means host or guest or stranger. Philio meaning love. So basically hospitality is simply this, love of the stranger. So hospitality isn't having your mates round. Hospitality, in its very nature, is showing love to those you do not know. Love of the stranger. The person who you're not quite sure about, you don't quite understand that person. It is love of the stranger. And when you show love of the stranger, there's an interesting thing there about the word xenos, which is where we get the word xenophobia from, the idea of fear of others, fear of stranger from, same root word. It means host or guest. There's not a word for host and a word for guest, it's interchangeable. The reason being is because when you put yourself in a situation of hospitality, if you're hosting, you're both hosting, but you're also in a relationship where there's a bit of a strange relationship between the two of you, where you might not know that person, and so you're kind of the host, but you're also the guest. It's kind of this interchangeable word where you're kind of in this relationship where it kind of goes both ways. So you can be hosting someone you don't know, so it feels strange. But you can be the person who's in someone else's home going, this feels strange. It's interchangeable, the idea of host and guest. And what you find is in Jesus' ministry is he often talks about how he's come to serve and he's come to do this stuff for us. He's come to host us, yet he wants us to host him. And it's kind of this weird paradox going on between host and guest. So hospitality simply means love of the stranger. It's not just doing nice things for people we like, it's love of the stranger. This has been the heart of God since the very beginning of the Bible. In Leviticus 19, it says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. Foreigners residing among you must be treated as the native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What he's saying is, we all know what it's like to be a stranger somewhere else. You ever had that moment when you walked in somewhere and you just go, I don't feel welcomed at all in this place? Or you've been somewhere where you've had really bad customer service. You think, I don't feel welcomed. I'm not going to go back here. You know what it's like to be a stranger. You know what it's like to be on the receiving end of someone not showing you hospitality. And what he's saying to the Israelites here, back in the beginning of the Bible, is saying, when someone comes into your camp, when someone comes into your world, who is different from you and feels a strange person to you, treat them as if they are basically your brother or your sister. Treat them like family, because you once were people who were strangers and needed that welcome. And we live in a world right now with extreme polar views on things like immigration and refugees. If you want a biblical response to this, Leviticus. Right there. Welcome people in as if they're your brother or your sister. Treat them like they're native born. Love others as yourself. Welcome people. Not just those who you like, but everyone. We're going to hear a story now read to us. I'm going to ask Iris to come forward. And she's going to read to us now the story of the Good Samaritan.
Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
So a story that I'm sure a lot of people in the room are aware of and probably know quite well. And we know it, but do we live it? Like, so it's the Bible, isn't it? We're going to go, "That's a really lovely thing Jesus said. It's really lovely." But you're getting what it means in that passage. The first thing about the Samaritan who comes and helps the man who's been beaten up and left on the side of the road by robbers is he shows vulnerability, because for Samaritans and Jews to intermingle was a big no-no. He had no idea what he was getting himself into. And hospitality, when you show it, will put you in a place of vulnerability. It will make you feel a bit, ooh. You're opening your life up to someone else. The second thing is, it will cost you something, hospitality. If you want to show it in a radical way, it's going to cost you something. It will require something of you. In the story, the man pays the innkeeper the keep of the man when he's at the inn. There's a cost to hospitality. It will cost you something. To have someone around for a meal, it will cost you something. Time, the cost of the ingredients, energy, it's going to cost you something. Because just being hospitable for people is doing something over and above the ordinary. And it will cost you to do that extra little bit. And thirdly, you have to become uncomfortable to allow others to feel comfortable. What happens is, in the story, the Good Samaritan, he gets off his own donkey and he puts the man on the donkey. He becomes uncomfortable to allow the other man to be comfortable. Hospitality isn't just doing nice things to nice people. Hospitality requires something of us. And it will make us vulnerable. It will cost us something. And it will require us becoming uncomfortable to allow others to feel comfortable. The word radical means this: drastically different from the ordinary practice. Outside the normal, that which exceeds expectation and goes the second mile. So what we mean by radical hospitality? It's not just kind of, so the word hospitality in itself is a radical word because it means love of the stranger. But we're saying we want to take that to another level and say, actually, what does it mean to be radical in our hospitality? It's going over and above, and to go over and above will cost us something. It will make us uncomfortable to do. But to be radical is drastically different from the ordinary practice, outside the normal that exceeds expectation and goes the second mile. If you come to this church regularly, you'll walk in and there'll be things that if a visitor comes in, they'll notice that you've forgotten about. There'll be things that you don't see because it's become normal for you. And then becomes very easy to think that that's not important. But being radical in our hospitality is saying, actually, I'm going to choose to see the things that other people might see. I'm going to choose to do something about that so that they feel welcome. So that people feel hospitality in this place. And so if you're someone, for example, who's on the welcome team, you're making yourself vulnerable by being on the front door. Anything could happen. It costs you getting here early to be here. And often, when it's too hot, it's uncomfortable. When it's too cold and you're freezing in the corridor, it's uncomfortable. But you're doing it to make other people feel comfortable when they come into the church. So if you're on the welcome team, we want to have the doors open, as we talked about before. If it makes you cold, put a coat on. That can be your radical hospitality, is I'm going to wear a coat so that the door can be open, so when people come to our church, the door's open, not shut. See, radical could be very normal things, but it's just going at a little extra distance that makes all the difference in the future for someone. Radical, just going over and above. When someone comes to the door, it's taking them to a seat rather than just letting them walk in. Grabbing them a coffee when they sit down. There are little things that we can do, which just go the extra mile. And it will cost you a little bit of time, cost you a little bit of something, but generally, it's not going to cost you that much. There might be things that you're called to do which will go way beyond that. I know there's people in this room who have taken people into their own home, who are homeless. That's costly. It's vulnerable. It makes you uncomfortable. That's radical hospitality. That's what we're called to be looking to do. Steve's going to come and read us now. Story of Luke 15. Again, a story we know probably quite familiar to us, but I just wanted to get it into our heads that these stories are radical.
Luke 15, from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's come back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' It's the word of God. Thanks be to the Lord."
So again, in this story, what we see is the son returns, and for the father to show hospitality to him again, even when the son has squandered everything that the father had given him in the first place. There's vulnerability on the father's part. It says that he pulls up his robe and he runs towards the son. To do that in that culture was something you just did not do. He makes himself vulnerable. It cost him something to welcome his son back because it's cost him half of his estate. It cost him a fatted cow. He becomes uncomfortable to allow his son to feel comfortable. He embraces his probably smelly, filthy, dirty son. He says, I don't care, I love you. In some translations of that passage, it says that he took the sandals off his own feet and put them on his son. He becomes uncomfortable to allow someone else to feel comfortable. It's quite simple, but it is radical. Because to make yourself feel vulnerable is scary. Whereas the cost involved is costly. And being uncomfortable is something that none of us really like, being uncomfortable. But will we become uncomfortable to allow others to feel comfortable? Not only in our church, but in our lives. What will we do? Romans 15:7 says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We've already talked about that verse. It's saying, do this because this is what God has done for you. God made himself vulnerable in Christ. He came to earth as a human being, shaking off all the glory of heaven and became fully man. He became vulnerable, born as a baby and growing up and living a life as a human being. And he went to the cross, and it was costly for him in order to allow others to experience the love of God. And I imagine the cross was pretty uncomfortable so that we could feel comfortable in his presence. So what Jesus has done for us. In 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, it says this. Paul's writing says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I become like a Jew, to win the Jew. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. So as to win those who have not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. What Paul is saying is, I will become whatever I need to become to allow someone else to feel comfortable so we have a conversation about who Christ is. He's saying, my whole endeavor is, and I trust the Father and I've received the Holy Spirit, I want to tell the story of the Son. I want to share with people the radical story of heaven. There's a God who loves you and wants to offer his hospitality to everyone. He wants to offer this grace to everyone. And Paul says, I'll become whatever I need to become in order to allow other people to experience this grace. I'll become vulnerable. It will cost me something. I'll become uncomfortable to allow others to feel comfortable. That's what he's saying. I will do whatever it takes so by all possible means I might save some. The whole thing he's saying is he's prepared to be a bridge of welcome between where people are and where they could be in the love of God. And hospitality is acting like a bridge. It's forging a place where they can be the going and coming of people in relationship. It's about a bridge of welcome. If you can't remember all the other words I've used, just remember this, the picture of the bridge. And in Christian circles, we often talk about the bridge analogy of the gospel. The idea being the fact that God's on one side, we're on the other side, and the cross fits in the middle as a bridge between us and God, allowing us to have that relationship with the Father. Jesus is the bridge through which we can enter into heaven. And what we are trying to be is people who are like Christ, being a bridge of welcome to the stranger. To those who are far off, we're trying to say, you can be welcomed into this family. You can experience this amazing grace of who God is. Knowing that actually all the things that you've done wrong in your life, all the places we've messed up and aren't good, that can be dealt with, sorted, and allow you to have a new life in Christ. Become a bridge of welcome. Take people from where they are to where they need to be. So when you're on the coffee rota, you're being a bridge of welcome. You're saying, you're welcome in this place. When you're on the welcome team, you're being the point of contact between the outside and the inside, saying, I'm going to be a bridge of welcome between you and this place. With your friends and with your family, in your workplace or wherever you spend most of your time, you can be a bridge of welcome between where people are and the truth of who God is. And that might mean having to get to know people and make yourself vulnerable. It might cost you time with that person. It might make yourself uncomfortable to allow someone else to feel comfortable. I know in the past I've gone and done things with people, activities with people, that they really like and I absolutely hate. I've been to a football match. Oh, I don't like football. Sorry to all the people in the church who do. But I've been to one. Why? Because it made someone else feel comfortable. It was their territory. I became uncomfortable to allow someone else to feel comfortable. Are there things that actually people that you know like doing that you think, oh, it's not for me, but you're prepared to become uncomfortable to allow someone else to feel comfortable? To meet them on their turf, where they're at, to be at a point of saying, I'm going to meet you where you are, to be a bridge from here to the grace of God. See, and radical hospitality is saying, I will do whatever it takes to forge that bridge. Not going, well, I'm here. If you don't come to this end of the bridge, then, well, that's it. See, I'm going to direct my bridge of welcome to wherever someone is. That's the radical nature of hospitality. The extra mile is saying, I will actively seek out how to connect with you so I can bring you into an understanding of who Christ is. That's the radical nature of it. And that's what Jesus does. That's what the cross is. Jesus meets us where we are and allows us to encounter a God of heaven. And that's grace. This is a picture, I don't know if you can see it quite well. This is a picture of a bridge in Germany. And this bridge doesn't go anywhere. It's just a bridge over a road. And you look at why the bridge doesn't have any roads on either side of it, and what you discover is that no one quite really knows. The best explanation of this bridge is the fact actually they built the bridge first and they ran out of money for the rest of the project. It cost too much. And for some of us, we're prepared to be a bridge of welcome, but we're not prepared to move to where people are and connect where they are to where God is. I'm here. If people come and find me where I am, that's fine. You do hospitality on your terms. And hospitality on your terms isn't hospitality. It's hostility. So again, hospitality on your terms is hostility, effectively. You're saying, you have to become something before I will engage with you. That's adversarial. That's not the kingdom. Hospitality, love of the stranger, it's saying, wherever you are, I will connect with you and I'll take you to where you could be. Hospitality is being a bridge of welcome between where people are and where they could be. Hospitality on your terms isn't hospitality. It verges on hostility. The one last thing I want to say on this is just this. If this is how you think, this might be helpful for you. Hospitality is spiritual warfare. Hospitality is spiritual warfare. Why? Because the opposite of the enemy. Because the enemy wants to divide, the enemy wants to split, the enemy wants to create adversarial relationships. He wants there to be hostility. And the enemy loves it when we're in our church and the world's out there and there's a wall between us. Because that way, they're safe from the kingdom of heaven. And what we're saying is, no. The kingdom of God breaks forth, breaks down barriers, and forges opportunities for people to come into an experience of who God is. So every time you share a meal with someone, which we're going to do in a moment, every time we show an action of love towards someone, every time we go that little extra distance for someone to feel welcome, when we become uncomfortable to let others feel comfortable, when it costs us something of our life, we think, gosh, that's 3 hours of my life, I'm not going to get back again. When we become vulnerable, what we're doing is we're living the gospel of grace that we've received in Christ, and we're sharing it with the world. And in that moment, we are declaring spiritual warfare in the world. We are saying that hostility, being enemies of each other, judging each other, that is not the kingdom of heaven. A bridge of welcome is the kingdom of heaven. Meeting people where they are, taking them to a place where they can experience Christ. So it's a nice thing you're doing. You are actively ushering in the kingdom of heaven into the here and now by your actions of hospitality. It's warfare. It's powerful. Because the kingdom of heaven is the embrace of God. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Radical hospitality exceeds expectation and goes the second mile for the stranger to bring the heart of God into view through us. When we show hospitality to the people, we're bringing the heart of God into view through us.